Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of The Comic Source. I'm Jace. This episode continues our week-long look behind the scenes at Phoenix Comic Con. In this episode, I'm going to be speaking with Joe Boudry, Director of Programming for Phoenix Comic Con and Phoenix Fan Fest. You can hear about what goes in to choosing the programs, what Joe feels makes a good program, and some of the upcoming new programs they're going to try out at Phoenix Comic Con in the coming year. Plus, Joe talks a little bit about some of his favorite programs from the past and meeting certain guests there doing panels. So a really cool look behind the scenes. And don't forget, for those of you that live in the Phoenix area or plan on traveling to the Phoenix area soon, Phoenix Fan Fest is coming up in just a few short weeks, December 4th, 5th, and 6th at the University of Phoenix Stadium in Glendale. They have badges starting at only $10 to attend, and as I've mentioned before, it's a great place to do some Christmas shopping. There's also going to be some really cool guests there. Karen Gillan from Doctor Who and Guardians of the Galaxy. Dirk Benedict, who you probably know better as Face from the A-Team, or Starbuck from the original Battlestar Galactica, is going to be there. Denise Crosby, Lieutenant Yar from Star Trek The Next Generation. Kevin Sorbo from Hercules fame. Also on the comic side of things, writer-artist Tim Seeley, artist Aaron Lopresti, Don Rosa, who just about everybody has seen Don Rosa's artwork. You probably just don't realize it. He is most known for doing Uncle Scrooge comics. Just iconic, very well-known images. Also, Larry Hama is going to be there. Writer for G.I. Joe over at IDW. Artist Josh Blaylock, Mike DeBalfo, Cully Hamner, Tom Hodges, Andrew Robinson, Dave Johnson. Just a really good mix of comic writers and artists, and a lot of sci-fi actors that are known for appearing in sci-fi shows and such. So it's going to be a really good time, good show to attend, especially if you are averse to crowds. Maybe you used to go to Phoenix Comic Con, but you feel like it's just gotten too big and too crowded, then this is definitely the show for you, so go ahead and check it out. So once again, I want to thank everyone for listening. I'll play the interview for you now with Joe, and I hope you all enjoy it, and we'll talk to you next time.
All right, this is Jace from The Comic Source, continuing our series of in-depth interviews with the people that put on the Phoenix Comic Con, giving us a peek behind the curtain, if you will. So I'm here with Joe Boudry, Director of Programming for Phoenix Comic Con. I wonder if you could give us a little of your background, Joe. How did you get involved in Phoenix Comic Con and become the Director of Programming specifically?
Oh, wow. Great question. I've been a fan of comics since I was a little boy. And as I grew into a teenager, I started buying comic books and reading Spider-Man and X-Men and mostly Marvel stuff. When I went away to college, I actually met a fellow who was doing costuming. And this was back in the 90s, so like Jim Lee, Chris Claremont era X-Men stuff. And my first costume that I did was Archangel from the X-Men. Had a great time doing it, and we did comic book convention all around in the Midwest, mostly in Ohio where I was from, but also Pittsburgh, Chicago, you name it. So then in 97, I moved here to Phoenix, and I got really excited because Phoenix is a big city,
right?
And I knew that Todd McFarlane lived here, and I knew that Brian Polito lived here, and I thought, oh, they're going to have this great big comic book convention. It'll be awesome. And there wasn't anything. And there wasn't anything for a couple years. And in 2002, Matt Solberg hosted the first Phoenix Cactus at the time Comic-Con at a little hotel that was close to where I was living. And I took my son there, and, you know, we had a great time, but it was tiny. Mm-hmm. It was, a couple thousand square feet, hall with, a few vendors in it. And my son and my family and I attended for the next couple of years as it went into Glendale. And in 2005, I got an email inviting me to a volunteer meeting for Comic-Con planning. And basically it was, hey, you know, we're going to start planning Phoenix Comic-Con. We're going to go to a multi-day event, and we need people to help make the event bigger. And I was like, you know, I felt like Phoenix should have a great big Comic-Con like other big cities. Mm-hmm. And I thought, you know, I really ought to put my money where my mouth is. And if I want there to be a great big cool convention here, I should do something to make that happen. So I went to that first volunteer meeting, and there was maybe half a dozen of us. And, you know, we said, okay, so what does it take to make this thing big? Like, I don't know. Well, what do you think? I don't know. What do you think? And so we kind of kicked around some ideas. Well, we'll probably want to have some panels or something. I was like, I can do that. And say, okay, you're the programming director. And the rest, as they say, is history.
So I imagine it's been rewarding to see the growth over the past few years.
Oh, absolutely. And really amazing. I remember in that first year, we were really pumped and excited to try to get 1,000 people to come to the convention. And when we actually finished the convention and it turned out we got 2,600 people, we were like, wow, we did twice as well as we thought we were going to do. And we were so excited about it, actually, that we turned right around, and from September, we ran another convention in January, you know, 4-month turnaround, and we did 5,400 for that one. And we thought, oh, wow, I can't believe we almost doubled in size. And then the next year to over 7,000, and just watching it year to year. And there have been a few years where we've actually doubled our attendance. When we moved from Mesa to downtown Phoenix, we doubled in size again. And it's just been amazing to see the rise of geek culture, having come from those days when if you were into Star Wars or Star Trek or comic books, you were not the in crowd.
Right. You didn't tell anybody that you read comics, right? I remember
exactly.
Those days.
Yeah. And just to see it coming into its own now, and geek culture is now mainstream culture.
Right.
You know, we're taking over the airwaves on TV and the movies in the movie theaters. All the blockbusters are all sci-fi or comic book related.
I wonder if you could talk a little bit specifically about what your duties are as director of programming.
Cool. Well, it's really my job to lead a team of people who are creative and dedicated organizers. And what that team does is kind of keep their finger on the pulse of the geek community, you know, be on the lookout for the kinds of things that are getting geeks excited, and basically figure out how to turn that into something entertaining. And, you know, for FanFest, for example, we know that Star Wars The Force Awakens is coming out just a week or two after our event. We knew that we would want to provide Star Wars content for the fans. So, you know, we put our heads together and, okay, what could we deliver that Star Wars fans would find exciting and interesting and would get them excited about the movie and passionate about their fandom. So we've got a slate of panels for Star Wars. You know, so from the basic stuff, we're doing Star Wars, A Guide to the Galaxy Far, Far Away. That kind of gets people that may not be real familiar with Star Wars a starting point. You know,
right.
we'll go over what's official Lucasfilm Star Wars canon. So this is what has gone before the movies that are about to come out, and kind of coach people up to be ready for the new film. And of course get all the people that are steeped in the Star Wars lore excited again. One of my favorites though this year, we're doing in our outdoor activity area, we're doing a BB-8 droid obstacle course.
Wow.
And
cool.
We got some of those awesome little spherical remote control droids that are very difficult actually to maneuver and pilot. And we're going to put them through some little obstacle courses and try to get fans to get their BB-8s to the finish line first.
Cool. So you say you come up for you and your team, you come up with an idea for a panel. You say, this is hot right now. We think this would be a good idea for a panel. What's the next step? I mean, do you find someone to host the panel? You find panel guests? Like, how does that process work?
Well, actually, we kind of have a few different channels that we work through. And for FanFest, it works differently than Comic-Con. At FanFest, we've got very limited amount of programming space. We have three rooms that we can host panels in. So generally, our team has more than enough ideas, just internally, that we say, okay, which of these ideas sound really cool that we can actually do? Because
right.
We come up with all kinds of crazy ideas that you could never actually implement without, you know, millions of dollars to, we're gonna create a real artificially intelligent droid. But basically for FanFest, our team gets together, and once we've, you know, figured out which ideas are practical, we reach out to the panelists that we've built relationships with over the years and talk with them about, here's our content. We know that you're knowledgeable about this. We know that you're a really good speaker, that you engage the audience and, you know, you have a fun time with it. And, you know, we ask them which of these would you be interested in presenting on. And then, of course, we've got our invited guests as well. And we always want to give our fans an opportunity to hear from those folks. Like, you know, this year we've got Karen Gillan. Obviously, we want to get her a spotlight panel where, you know, fans of the Doctor Who show can come and hear Karen talk about her experiences there. Or, you know, fans of Guardians of the Galaxy can hear all about Nebula and all that kind of stuff. So we also work with our guest relations team and through them with the agents to book those guests on panels and, you know, just make sure that they're able to get a chance to interact with fans too. So
having done this for such a long time, once you have the idea, in your mind, what makes a good panel? What makes a good program when it comes down to executing?
It most of the time comes down to the abilities and skills of the presenter. We've done material that ranges the whole gamut. For example, we've got a really rich track of science programming, and that's instructional material. That's lecture material. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it can be very dry, and you can get up and in front of an audience of people and go through a speaking monotone lecture about, you know, how the Kepler process is working to identify new planets out in the galaxy. And what we're able to do is find exciting scientists that get up on stage and make it engaging. And we're lucky to have a lot of really smart people that are into the sciences. Arizona's got all kinds of great fan communities and professional communities that we draw on. So when we can get somebody who's really good at engaging an audience and getting them excited about the material that they're presenting, that's really the heart of a good event.
Okay. We talked a little bit about the growth. You mentioned, you know, starting out with, you know, wanting to get 1,000 guests. Do you feel like the programming has grown at the same rate, same level as the convention?
Yes and no. We definitely expanded our programming content. The first years that I was involved, when we were at the Mesa Convention Center, we had a dozen rooms that we could host content in. This past year, we had 64 programming spaces across 5 buildings, and each one of those buildings had multiple floors that we had events running in. So, you know, from those dozen rooms where we had 2,600, now we've got 80,000 people across 60 rooms. Yeah, it's been a huge growth. We do thousands of hours of panels, parties, contests, games. And matter of fact, this past year, we brought back 24-hour gaming in our video game and PC gaming lounge. So we had stuff running throughout the entire convention.
It sounds really tiring, yeah. Joe. It sounds like a rough weekend for you.
It's all about having a really strong team of passionate volunteers. I absolutely rely on them to do a lot of the heavy lifting. And we've gotten really good over the years at being able, for each of us who are involved, but particularly our volunteers who make up the bulk of our workforce, that we have several hours every day that's our time to go out and enjoy the convention. That, you know, we've made it a point to always communicate how important it is. Make sure that you're setting aside time in your days for sleep, for eating, and for enjoying yourself. And we've gotten pretty good at it.
Do you have every year, I imagine you must have some fan groups or people that come up, I have a great, you know, they're not necessarily a volunteer, but I have a great idea for this program I want to put on. How does that process work if somebody wanted to do a program at Phoenix Comic Con 2016?
Oh, that's great. We actually have, for Phoenix Comic Con, we've got a panel submission process. And you can go to our website, and under the programming menu, there's a submit programming proposal. And there's kind of two ways you can do it. One is, oh, hey, I would love to see something about Doctor Who. So you can just send us a message through the form that says, hey, how about some Doctor Who stuff? That's great. But we also have full-fledged proposals, which is, all right, I'm an expert on Doctor Who, and I would like to do a cultural comparison of the different companions through the different series. And, you know, here's my co-presenters, here's an outline of what we'll be talking about. And we take in all of those requests, and we get dozens of them every year. And then we reach out to those potential presenters. We've got a fair amount that we work with year to year that have really polished their skills and become excellent presenters. And of course, every year we get some new talent in as well, people who've never spoken in front of an audience before. And we help them out with some panelist training that they can come and, you know, kind of learn what it's like to speak in front of an audience, how to make sure that their presentation is well-ordered and structured, how to make sure that they've got good supporting materials, whether that be a PowerPoint presentation or some video clips or, you know, charts, diagrams, what have you, and how to make sure that they understand how to communicate clearly and effectively to an audience. Phoenix Comic Con is entertainment, and we're there to entertain the crowds. And really, that's the key of being a successful presenter, is understanding that you're there to provide some entertainment for the people that are in the room.
Do you have any specific hopes for the future of programming at Phoenix Comic Con?
Oh, specific hopes. Yeah, there's some really cool stuff that we're looking at doing. This year, we've dedicated new tracks to science and fantasy. Those have always been really popular areas, but we've historically kind of lumped them all together with our sci-fi programming. So, as kind of a science geek myself, I'm really excited that we've had a couple years to really build up some strong presenters, and B, that we can take that to the next level, include some more science content, which is pretty unique among other pop culture conventions. You know, some shows may do one or two panels that have a science component to it, but we're actually doing science as a multiple room running throughout the duration of the convention track. And we'll host content from multiple different disciplines, you know, from, you know, astronomy, physics, over into the medical fields, you know, biology and, you know, geology, chemistry, you name it. Fantasy, again, really popular now, and we've hosted sporadic Harry Potter or Game of Thrones panels, but we know that we can do more and that the fans are out there and they're excited for that content. So we'll be growing there. And we'll also be growing our gaming content as well. So those are all really exciting areas to see grow.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the science. Brandy mentioned it. Matt mentioned it.
You
mentioned it. Something definitely I feel that can add value. And it's interesting. We're seeing this trend. You know, the Martian was the number one movie. And it just seems like I look back to, you know, the time of like Leonardo da Vinci and where science was part of pop culture. Like people were aware that it got people excited. And then when I was growing up, it didn't, you know, it was kind of the dry thing for the geeks and the nerds or whatever. And so it's almost like, okay, geek culture has become more popular, more mainstream, as you said. Mm-hmm. But also, as a species, we're reaching this level of technology where we can have these new discoveries, and these things that we grew up seeing on these sci-fi shows are becoming reality. And so I feel like that's a part of the reason that now's the time.
I think that's definitely a component of it. And as we were growing up, and I think we're probably fairly similar age, you know, there was all this really cool, magical stuff that was happening on these, you know, TV series and in movies. And it's like, oh, wow, I can't wait till, you know, I can, you know, have a tricorder or, you know, a phaser or I can't wait till I get a hoverboard. Still waiting on
that one, right?
and now technology has evolved at an ever-increasing and exponential pace even that those things that we thought were just the coolest, they're becoming closer and closer to reality.
Yeah, I mean, look at the phones we carry around, our computers and our...
The sum of human knowledge in our pocket.
Yeah, exactly. Just amazing. For my last question, something a little more personal with how long you've been involved in Phoenix Comic Con. I wonder if there is a favorite moment, maybe meeting a celebrity for a spotlight panel, or just having a panel that you weren't sure was going to work out, just exceed your expectations. If you could pick one, or maybe it's several.
I have to pick only one?
You could pick several if you need to, but favorite moments since you've been here involved with the Phoenix Comic Con.
Definitely my favorite would be my experience working with Leonard Nimoy in 2011. I was a huge Star Trek fan when I was young, and that was one of the things that I did with my dad when I was little, is we would watch Star Trek together, and Spock was my favorite character from the series. He was just fascinating.
Yes.
And when I learned that we were going to have him as a guest, it was just like, okay, I've never gotten geeky excited about any guest that we've had. I'm geeky excited now. And as the person responsible for programming, I had to put together Mr. Nimoy's spotlight panel. And one day I'm at work at my day job at the time, and I get a phone call from Leonard Nimoy, and he wants to talk with me about how his panel is going to work. And I have to take my phone outside so that I can breathe and talk with Leonard Nimoy about, you know, his presentation. And he was very gracious, remarkably well spoken, and he knew exactly what would work and what he needed, and he communicated it very clearly. I was like, that all makes perfect sense, and we can absolutely do that. So that's my favorite moment.
And the panel was
A spectacular success. Kind of funny. So, you know, he's speaking in front of, you know, 4,000 or 5,000 people, and his phone rings while he's on stage. Hold on, I have to get this. It's my wife. And he answers the phone while he's speaking to the audience. Hello, honey. I'm just here doing my panel right now. Is there something that you need? And, you know, he's talking with his wife in front of this big room full of people. And yeah, it was just kind of touching that he would take the time to make sure that he answered.
Well, right, you know, one of the things, I mean, I would be the same way. I mean, there's very few celebrities or comic people that I haven't met that I would like to meet that I would feel like I would geek out. Leonard Nimoy would have been, would have been one of them. But I think what we forget as fans is they're people too. You know, they're just people too. So we can't forget that. So I want to thank you for your time, Joe.
Absolutely.
You have a great job. You do a great job.
Thank you.
Somewhat of a dream job, I have to imagine. Growing up reading comics and now putting on this program for Phoenix Comic Con. So thanks again for this peek behind the curtain at the programming for Phoenix Comic Con.
You're very welcome.